Films are a dreamlike medium, but film is fragile. It can fall apart, catch fire, get ripped, rot, or just get left in a box. Daniel Egan says that about half of all films made before 1950 are presumed to no longer exist. About 80% of all silent movies have not survived. Films that someone considers classic can get mildewed or disappear in an attic as easily as somebody's home movie about a trip to Niagara Falls. But the National Film Registry was established in the 1980s with support from John Huston, Jimmy Stewart, Martin Scorsese, and Sidney Pollack, as well as a lot of politicians, to permit the Library of Congress to select 25 American films to preserve each year. Daniel Egan, who's worked for several movie studios and writes widely about film, has put together a book that details those motion pictures, America's Film Legacy, the authoritative guide to the landmark movies in the National Film Registry. Mr. Egan joins us from New York. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Now, these aren't always the best films, are they?
Some of them are. Some of them are pretty obscure, though. The way the National Film Registry bylaws are written, it can just be of cultural or historic significance. So that can include just about anything.
For example, I think the first one up you talk about in this book is the blacksmithing scene.
Blacksmithing scene made at the Edison studio. It was the first film to be projected publicly.
It's a couple of guys working as blacksmiths.
Well, they're pretending to, so it's actually
they're actors, that's right.
It's the first fiction film, as a matter of fact.
Let me ask you about a 1932 film I saw as a student, and you know, I think I still have a nightmare about it once every year or two. That's Todd Browning's Freaks.
Wow, what a film that is. And, you know, when you saw it, I imagine it was when I saw it, that was the first time it had been publicly shown, really, since its original release. The thing was, Universal had made a killing doing Dracula and Frankenstein, and Irving Thalberg, who was in charge of production at MGM, told Todd Browning, let's make the scariest movie ever. So Todd Browning, who had a background in circus sideshows, put this film together, and it's not just scary, it's appalling. It's a ghastly film about circus sideshows and the performers there and how they get exploited. It's really, really frightening film, isn't it?
I mean, an actual bearded lady, the human torso, who smokes, as I recall.
Yes. And the thing is, you're watching it and you're wondering, were these people being exploited? Mm-hmm. But Todd Browning was friends with them, and these people were performers to begin with. So it's not like he was forcing them to do something they weren't doing for a living anyway.
We accept a one of us. We accept a one of us.
Gooba gobble, gooba gobble.
We accept her, we accept her.
Gooba gobble, gooba gobble.
One of us, one of us.
Gooba gobble.
Now, when we say a film is preserved, what does it mean?
It used to just mean that a film was sitting on a reel in a can on a shelf somewhere. Now you have to preserve a lot many more elements than you used to have to. Soundtrack can be a digital file, can be a magnetic tape. The special effects might be separate from the negative, and they may have to be restored in a separate way. But basically what they want is they want what they call an answer print, which is a print that struck from the negative, which you never project. It's just, and it's the best example of what they can do.
1932 film of note, Scarface, Paul Muni. Paul Muni, whose name should be uttered in the same breath as other greats.
Well, he makes a great gangster, doesn't he?
Yeah.
The thing about Scarface that's really interesting for me is that it was never shown in New York City until the 1980s.
It was banned in a lot of places, wasn't it?
It was banned everywhere. It was banned because it had the highest body count of any gangster film to date. And also, I think, because it glorified gangsters, it glorified incest, it glorified very grotesque forms of murder. And eventually, Howard Hughes, who produced it, Howard Hawks was the director. Hawks had left a long time ago. Howard Hughes hired other people to keep reshooting endings and trying to find a way where he could get it past censorship boards. And then finally, he just released it himself. He four-walled it in the terms. He would rent the theater, and then he would get all the proceeds, and nobody could really stop him.
It's a lie. I didn't do it. I wouldn't try anything on you, Tony. We're pals.
Sure, we're pals.
No, you're the last guy in the world I'd try to cross. You know that. Give me a chance. You can have anything I got. Anything.
all the dough you want. Poppy. You can have Poppy, Tony.
Nah. You give somebody else to do it.
No. Wait. Tony, come back. Tony.
There's one film that's on the list and in your book that I would choose to watch just for a good time tonight. It would be 1940, Rosalind Russell, Cary Grant.
His Girl Friday, yeah, what a great film that is.
Well, talk about talkies. There's never been a talkier film.
They practiced and spoke at a higher rate of speed than any other film to that point.
All right, go on, take it, work for somebody else. That's the gratitude I get.
Oh, I wish you'd
stop
panning.
What were you when you came here 5 years ago, a little college girl from a school journalism? I took a doll-faced hick.
Well, you wouldn't take me if I hadn't been doll-faced.
Oh, why should I? I thought it'd be a novelty to have a face around here a man could look at without shuddering.
Listen, Walter.
Listen,
they also took a trick from the Marx Brothers. If you have a laugh line, you have to leave room for the laugh, but you can't have silence because if it falls flat, then you're stuck. So Howard Hawks would add words that didn't really matter to the beginning and ends of the jokes so people could laugh through them and still follow the story.
Well, we're speaking with Daniel Egan about his new book, America's Film Legacy. Also included in the film registry and your book, Let's All Go to the Lobby.
Yeah, I love that film, actually. The song they used for it was of for He's a Jolly Good Fellow. And if you see that film once, you will never forget it.
The dancing ice cream bar, the dancing popcorn box.
Yes, they're your friends, and they want you to join them in the lobby where you will buy them and eat them.
I don't think anybody would dispute that if you had to make certain to save one American film, it would be The Godfather.
Well, yes, and that's an interesting problem because how do you save The Godfather? The Godfather was actually the last film shot on dye transfer Technicolor in a process that is no longer in use. So when you're saving it, you're not actually saving The Godfather anymore. You're saving a version of it. Plus, you're saving a version of it that Francis Ford Coppola has been fiddling with for 20 years, 30 years. So in a way, it's almost like an opera. It can have a longer version. It can have a shorter version. What is the authentic version?
I work my own life. I don't apologize to take care of my family. And I refused to be a fool. Dancing on the string, held by all those big shots. I don't apologize, that's my life, but I thought that... But when it was your time, that you would be the one to hold the strings. Senator Corleone. Governor Corleone, something.
Another Pesinovante. I mean, it's hard to follow the filmmaker's wishes sometimes. If you look at Star Wars, for example, George Lucas has been changing that ever since it was released. He's been changing the digital effects on it. So it's not really the same film that was released originally.
So people can't go to the Library of Congress and see these?
They certainly can. There is a motion picture reading room, and you can... If you make prior arrangements, you can go down and see any of these films, just like you can go to the National Archives and say you want to see something there, and they will get it for you. It's like a library, right?
Daniel Egan, his new book, America's Film Legacy, the authoritative guide to the landmark movies in the National Film Registry. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Well, it's only if you live in an apartment building. If you're in your kitchen, get another cup of coffee. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
The chocolate bars and the candy, so let's all go to the lobby.